Well, natural history broadcaster and legend David Attenborough is in Australia this week, where he'll give three sold-out lectures in Sydney about his life on air. He's granted two interviews while he's here. One is for commercial television and one's for radio with RN Science Show. David Attenborough is speaking here with Robin Williams about the issue of how science is reported in the media and how it can be twisted by politicians, particularly in the area of climate change.
Let me ask you about some of your colleagues, such as Paul Nurse from the Royal Society, have said that there is not only a problem, but there's been a distortion of the science about the problem. Are you concerned about that?
Yes, I think it's very disturbing indeed that when you get a message from science that you don't like, you say, well, the science is wrong. That's not what science is about. Science is about looking unblinkingly at the facts. And when they don't match what you thought, then you change where you think. And if they don't match, or if they produce danger signs, the same discipline, the same mental discipline said, all right, then we must recognise the danger and do something about it. You don't say the science is wrong.
But they have been doing that.
Well, because it's easier, it's more comforting, and it's cheaper.
Yes.
In the short run. And in the long run, of course, it's catastrophic.
And how do you see that playing out? Because it seems to me that if you look on the one side at science having several hundred different takes, you know, you in the field looking at natural history are looking at 40 different or 50 different examples of evidence, which you then put together and you get some sort of theme or a pattern. Whereas if you are just being a commentator knocking the science, you just say, don't believe it, not convinced. You are disputing the way all of this information comes together to make an overall point.
Certainly. And the great scientists are the ones who see something which destroys a theory which they may have held for all their life, but who then say, yep, I recognise the facts. There is a demonstration of the proof, and I will therefore abandon my previous theory. That's what a great scientist does. But it is easier for a politician to say, I don't believe it, and therefore I'm not going to spend money there or take any action.
What do you think the scientists should do about that, those who are concerned about putting the record right? What would you like to see?
Well, we just have to keep on declaring the truth, and that's not just restricted to science. I mean, it's a basic thing of life, that it's a moral thing in life, that you must state the truth. That applies to science as it does to everything.
Yes, but what if the critics say the proof is not absolute, that science is always conditional?
Well, you have to take the credentials, look at the credentials of the person who says that. I would dearly like to say that I understood climate science and was able to look at the huge complexity of science that comes out on that and say, yes, I've looked at it from the basic facts and I have come to the conclusion that that is right. To do that, I need a university degree in climatology, in all kinds of advanced chemistry, one thing like that, which I don't have. But I have a sufficient respect for the discipline of science to know that if climatologists all round the world of all kinds of nationality and all kinds of schools say the overwhelming evidence is that this is what is happening, then I say I will go take your word for it, because that's what science is about, that you accept the specialist. Of course, there are plenty of critics who are prepared, who are also well qualified. And if there was a really major section of the scientific world that said, no, there's an element in there, in that argument, which is debatable, then okay, then you do something and wait for them to sort it out. But there isn't that.
No.
I mean, 99, I don't know what the proportion is.
97.5%, I think they say.
Is it? Is it? Of climatologists, yes. Say that that is the case.
That's people working in the field.
That's right.
Yeah. You can't actually have that sort of figure easily in any other field. I mean, especially not in medicine, where you'd be people having brawls all over the place.
Exactly.
What was the final thing that convinced you in terms of climate, the aspect of evidence?
I went to a conference in Liège about, what, I suppose, 10 years ago. And there was an American scientist who was a climate scientist who produced a whole series of graphs of the various elements that he discovered over the years. And going back to the 18th century, What is so extraordinary that people think that, oh, how can you possibly know what it was in the 18th century, what the climate was? Well, the answer is you can, because you can take ice cores, which have bubbles in them, which you can date the ice cores. You can know when that ice formed from snow and water, and it encloses a sample of the atmosphere as it was at the time. So it's possible to use ice cores to plot the chemical constituents of the atmosphere going back 200 years or more. And that was part of the statistics which I was being shown. And so it's inescapable, and particularly when you plot it against population size and industrialization history. So there's no doubt about it at all.
Sir David Attenborough speaking with Robin Williams, and in that full interview with The Science Show this week, he talks about some of his favourite parts of Australia, including Lord Howe Island, where David Attenborough climbed to the top of its highest mountain and did his knee in for good. Or bad, sounds like me. The Science Show, of course, can be heard middays on Saturday and at 2 p.m. on Mondays here on RN. And Sir David has also been honoured on his visit to Perth, where a newly discovered Australian spider measuring little more than a millimetre in length was named after him. It's called the Pethopalpus attenboroughi. It's found only on Horn Island, and it was discovered by Dr. Barbara Bayer and Professor Mark Harvey. So fancy having a spider named after you. It's 8:20 on Breakfast.